So, start with you, member, Jeff?
Yes.
Rich Faith, member?
Yellow member.
Regular council, city council liaison.
And let's hear from you as well, Clayton, that you are present and a member of the CAB.
You're muted.
Are you muted?
You're muted, I think.
Yeah, there we go. Sorry, I just, first time using the WebMX, so.
Okay, all right, so we got Clayton as well, and Matt.
Yeah, Matt Bell, Kittleson Assistant.
Eric Lyons, Public Works Director.
And I'm Clark Guy, the Assistant City Engineer.
Okay, so we have four members present, so we do have a quorum. So let's tackle the agenda here. Get the right ones. First item on here is approval of the agenda. Does anyone have any changes they'd like to propose to our agenda this evening? If none, well, I'd just simply take that as approval. Review and approval of the October 2024, somebody else. As I mentioned, those were not included or attached to the notice of our meeting, but I'm open to review and approval of those if others do as well.
Are you looking for
transportation?
Yes.
Hi, are you a new member of our?
I'm just here to report a comment.
Cool, okay. Okay. Mind if I get your name now?
Yeah, it's Hannah Compton.
Hannah?
Hannah.
Okay. Okay. All right, so back to the approval of the notes from our October meeting. How do you all feel? I just read them for our starting meeting and they look fine to me.
I wasn't here, so I'll assume.
No part of the plan. Jeff, how about you?
I was here, read them. Motion to approve.
Well, you know what?
You don't need.
No, and since you and I were the only two here, we won't be able to handle it.
I think we both put it.
Is that true? You don't need them?
For Robert's rules, since I chair the West.
Yeah, you don't need a motion to approve the minutes under Robert's rules.
That comes up quite often.
I didn't bring it because I got a different note. Yes, you don't need it.
Well, for tonight's meeting, I will accept a motion. Jeff, did I hear you?
Yes.
Move, and then I'll second, and the two of us are the ones here that can vote on it. If in favor, say aye.
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 I'm going against the rules.
You really have, the thing that needed was a suit.
All right, so the summary notes from our October 23rd, 2024, meeting have been approved. That then takes us to the next item, public comment. Anna, you're here for a public comment, so the floor is yours.
I just want to talk about the intersection on Day Road and Savannah. I noticed that like a lot of people have been skipping the stop sign there, and I know that a lot of people put the median in the center.
Yeah.
In fact, just the other day, someone's tire got cut by the bolts on it.
I can't really see it. Was that as they were going straight through or making the left?
They were going left from Day Road. So, a lot of people hit those.
It used to have a cone. It used to have a.
There is.
Is there still a cone that got knocked over?
It does.
It does get knocked. Yeah. But yeah. A lot of people just like skip it, and I'm just going to comment on maybe there's like something that we could do for that.
Well, ultimately, the idea is to put a roundabout in, and they
have that
probably most of that costs money that they don't have.
Yeah. And then just like find about some Portland, that intersection sized.
Right. It would take care of that.
Mm-hmm.
That is your plan, something.
Yeah.
Part of just right out here, the intersection that we had at the stop sign.
Oh, before we see ours.
Yeah.
part of the issue, I think, is that light got hit at some point on this side behind the bank, and there's no light. We only have
street light.
There's no street
light. Oh, really?
So it is dark. Obviously, it's dark everywhere this time of year. But we've got a request in PG&E to come fix it.
Was it at night when you noticed it, Anna? During the day?
I like all times. All I just constantly see people blowing those stop signs.
Yeah,
well, is it going up the hill?
It's mostly just going through Saloma. Like, if they come up the hill and they're trying to get past that stop sign, it's just going to just won't stop.
I knew that was an issue when we first put it in, and we had the advance warning.
Right.
We've added a stop ahead in the median.
Yeah.
You know, we had the perimeter lit stop sign.
You had right to go up when you
could. But those were the wrong size for the application for the classification of the road. So we didn't want to get ourselves in a bind there.
It's big as a ticket.
They're not cheap to buy the right size sign, so we're like, we haven't done it yet, but maybe we're going to have to get them.
Well, do you think people are blowing through because they're ignorant there's a stop sign, or they're...
They just don't care.
I know
people who, like, just don't care that there's a stop sign there, and they're like, why is there a stop sign there now? I just want to drive through.
It used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah,
rebellion.
Yeah, that's true.
It's made it a lot easier.
Yeah,
it has. Oh, yeah,
in and out of either side.
I feel much safer trying to get out onto Salamo of day,
and then adding the crosswalks, so now people can
with all the cross that come down from Rosemont. That crosswalk is incredibly important. I was in middle school when there wasn't a all way stop there, and it was just so hard.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to like get going.
We'll have to let me know. Yeah. I know they'll sit up there occasionally.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the solution. Is people see some police presence and then get ticketed and start a bang sign. I don't know. It's been there, what, year and a half, 2 years almost?
Yeah.
It's been at least a year. Oh, it's been at least a year. Yeah. So, of course, there's really no excuse.
No.
People just don't want to abide by that stop sign.
Yeah.
Maybe you could do a citizen's arrest.
Huh? I would not do it.
I might get shot or something.
Especially when they're in the car.
Yeah. When that stop sign got put in, did the 25-mile-an-hour speed limit, the one down below, was that when that change took effect?
That was before.
That was
25-mile-an-hour
before the stop sign. Yeah. So in the 25-mile-an-hour zone, people should be running the stop sign in particular, or any time, obviously.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're supposed to be going slow to start.
Yeah. So, Hannah, other than bringing this to our attention, do you have any specifics or anything
that you'd like? I think a roundabout would be like perfect for that situation, because then people can just drive through and they don't have to stop all the time. Like something like on 10th Street.
Yeah. One of these days. Well, we do have... A remedy for the future. It's going to happen.
I know. I get it.
Yeah. But you could.
Anyway,
you could put in our city news a little email blast. So, in the meantime, to clarify, who's going to talk to the law enforcement folk?
We'll follow them.
Okay. Nice. I mean, that's really all we can do at this point.
That's it. Okay. All right. Any other public comment? I don't think there's anyone else here to comment, but throw that question out. Anything else, Anna? All right. Thank you very much.
Feel free to hang out and if you're interested in trying to
get you. She is.
I am becoming a civil engineer.
Hey! All right! He's one.
Room full of us.
He's a planner, so.
That's a
planner. Weekend.
Yes, we do.
All right, let's move on to the business now. We've got first on the agenda here, election of the 2025 chair and vice chair. So I have served my term two years now as chair, so it's time for me to step down. Jeff, you're the vice chair currently.
I nominate Jeff.
And obviously you're the right candidate to take over. So I have already heard a motion to nominate you as our chair.
Need a second.
Yeah, I would like a second and not
one second that motion.
Well, we can do that is Clayton. So Clayton, are you game to?
I second that motion and all I think right. It sounds like a great idea.
All right. Any further discussion on that? All right, then I'll call for the vote. All those in favor of electing Jeff as our chair for this year, indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Okay. You're it, man.
Okay.
All right.
I will follow in your big footsteps.
Oh, now we have our other.
Oh, man, I have another person.
Yeah.
Oh. Hey, Logan.
Hi, guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Perfect.
WebEx is not easy to use, but you made it.
I made it. Yes. WebEx made me work for it.
Okay. So, Logan, we are currently in the process of electing our chair and vice chair for this committee for next year. Jeff has just been elected as the chair. I'm now open the floor for nominations for vice chair. Rick or Thomas? Yeah.
Rick has been on the committee.
I think Thomas has
been on the committee too.
I think this last year.
Yeah, I think they've both been on for this last year.
Unless Clayton or Logan want to be vice chair.
All you have to do is nominate.
I could.
Both Rick Larson and Thomas have been on this committee for the last year.
Right.
Seems like.
Speak to them.
Well, you, I don't think they have to be present for us.
To be present to win.
No, I don't think so. Does anyone know if there's?
I wonder if you could put it off until the next week.
That's a valid point. Yeah, we could just hold off on that part. We do have a chair, we can take over from here.
That's right, we have a council.
Okay, so that will be over this
meeting.
And with that, I'll turn the gavel over to you now.
Okay. So the next item on our agenda is to review the meeting schedule for 2025. So Eric, you want to talk to us about that?
Make sure that we all speak up so that our members online can hear us. I've heard the sound can be bad sometimes.
Can you repeat that before the I heard the sound can be bad sometimes?
Yes, I was worried that we weren't being clear enough for you two to hear what we're doing next.
I didn't hear that, and I also didn't hear the name of the intersection. Was it Day Road? I was trying to go based off of like other things I did hear, like making a left on Salamo.
Yeah.
So I was
Dan Salamo.
Gotcha. Okay.
I don't know that I have the new schedule either. I mean, we can make it up right now.
Well, I sent it out to the group already.
Yeah, well, I think the difference being that we're going to commence the meetings January now and every other month thereafter, as opposed to prior years where the first meeting was in February and every other month thereafter. And I think we're still talking about the fourth Wednesday of the month.
Yeah.
Okay.
No,
So July, I'll have.
The fourth Wednesday of the month, but will there be one on the 20? What is that? 20? So is there one next week or was that?
No.
Every other.
Okay.
I would assume that after this month, our following meetings will be on the fourth Wednesday, which is our normally been our Sunday.
March 26th.
There was a quorum problem with next week's. Is that right?
Gotcha.
That's why we're having it this
week. It would be May 28th, which is the next Memorial Day. May 28th. Is that right? Yeah. There was a fourth Wednesday. And then it would be July 23rd.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I sent it out.
Yeah, I think I do. I'll see that. September 24th.
And now I can't.
It was, and then we'll have to move.
So we're saying starting March 26th is the next meeting?
Yeah.
Yes.
That is during the Westland Wilsonville School District spring break, but with the ability to attend virtually, that doesn't like preclude me from joining you wherever I might be.
So what about the week?
Can we move it up a week?
21st?
21st? Oh, 2019.
19th.
Right, I'm sorry, 19th.
That totally works for me.
All right, so actually we're going to the third. Which would actually work better for me all the time.
Should we just do that across?
If I have a conflict,
let's just do
Wednesday on
secret the third.
Yep. I like our new chair. Making decisions.
Getting the big bucks for this.
Okay, so that would put us May 14th.
So it's March 21st.
March 19th. Oh, 21st.
Yeah.
May 21st.
May 21st.
Then it would be July 16th.
I will not be able to make on the 21st, but that's something.
And then we'd be September 17th. And that would actually work because in November we'd be the 19th. And we'd get, so you have third Wednesdays, a better deal than the fourth Wednesday.
Yeah, is there any reason?
Did I hear a conflict for May 21st from somebody, though?
Yeah, I do. This is Rich talking, but I wouldn't let that deter you from scheduling it.
Just like that, now that you're not the chair, huh? Just joking.
I don't know how we got established on the fourth Wednesday. I don't know why we couldn't change it to the third.
Well, Mary's really looking at her calendar now.
I'm looking for... South Fork Water Board. Actually, no, it was on this. It was the fourth.
It was a problem for you.
That was
also
the problem.
For you all the time then anyway.
Yes, it was.
So it worked
better. Third Wednesday for everybody. Excellent.
Like this.
Still 6 p.m.?
Yep. 6 p.m. Okay.
Excellent. We'll send out an update. It's going to be great.
Yeah, that's all
of you. Okay, in November.
November, it takes us out of a problem, like Thanksgiving, 19th, yep, 17th, yep. Okay, I think we've got consensus there. Some staff's going to send out an updated email with that to confirm for all the membership and update the website as appropriate, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Next item is the pedestrian project priority update from Matt.
Yeah, so do you want me to
you can bring it up.
Yeah,
everyone can bring it up.
I did. Yeah, you should have it.
Clark, I got you. I saw. Okay, thank you.
What else?
I should share a few more things with you because it goes back quite a bit. All right. There you go. Just one more
time. So now I need to
Yeah, because you can't share it like that. You need to download it.
Thing on the screen. Yeah. Then he has to share it.
Don't want it to what?
That's fine.
Now it's it. There. Now it's done.
But now you can go to the meeting and share your screen. Okay, can you guys see that? Clayton, Logan?
Yes, I have it open on my own.
Yeah,
this as well.
I got it.
Man, can you compare?
All right. Well, again, I'm Matt Bell. I'm with Gilson. I've been helping the city to go through this process. And we've met a couple times now. And the first time we met, I think we were trying to stay pretty high level talking about some of the new climate friendly and equitable community rules and how those rules are influencing how we prioritize pedestrian projects specifically within metropolitan cities and metropolitan areas. So we've got a set of criteria that we're working from. We've got a project list that we're working from. We wanted to go through and first update that project list based on all the work the city has been doing so far. So we have a transportation system plan that's existing. It's been around. You guys have had a few different versions. The most recent version, I think, was developed in 2016, updated as soon as 20, as early as most recently as 2021. And that plan has a project list. That project list, again, it's there's project lists for pedestrians, bicycles, transit, and motor vehicles, and so on and so forth. We're really focused on a head list. There's about 101 projects overall. Over the last 10 years or so, or about 9 years, the city has, these numbers aren't going to be perfect, but the city has done, I think, about 20 things completed. Completed 9 projects, partially completed 22 projects, and 4 projects are currently under construction. So we had to update the list just by the nature of things that have been completed by the city. But then we also went through and took a closer look at the project list to see which projects really made sense. And there were a handful of projects that that just were more than likely never going to occur just due to topographical constraints, due to just the location of those projects with respect to adjacent land uses and things just being really overly impactful. And so we kind of thinned out the list. I think at the end we got it down to about 85 projects or so. So we took it down by about 50. I think I can give you the exact number, but we took down that project list and then we went about doing our reprioritization.
Matt, do you mind if I do a sound check and make sure they can hear okay? Because we can move the
Folks online, can you hear me all right?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay.
I have a tendency to go in and out, so just let me know if I start talking.
Oh, okay.
Too quick. So, and then we went through a prioritization. So the memo that you have, I think these guys have.
This memo?
No. Family, somebody online might have.
Oh, yeah.
I have the same document that you're projecting here, the technical memo. Yeah.
With the packet. Or it just got posted online.
Yeah, it was below the agenda online.
Good. But when we get the emails with the agenda, so if there's other materials, I wish it would be stated so we can look for it instead of growth.
So we tried to keep the memo short, really kind of focused on what we were doing. So it gives you that intro, gives you that background, and then jumps right into the prioritization process. So the first part here, we're talking about the criteria again. It's really based on what's coming out of Oregon administrative rules, the transportation planning rules, and the criteria that's required there. We talked about this a little bit last time. We talked about the inputs and the scaling, and then this table on table one is kind of the first critical thing that I'd like to draw your guys' attention to. So on the left-hand side here, we have the transportation planning rule, the OAR references, the specific factors that are being required by those OARs. And then how we went about applying those for the city. So what specific criteria we're using. Sometimes it's pretty simple. Like the TPR says that we need to prioritize projects within what they call Metro Region 2040 centers. Westland has a couple of those. One of those is kind of the southwest part of town. The other one is right there on the highway. I think we talked about this last October. And so the simple yes or no. And so then we use that criteria, we use the input value. Here's how we went about scaling that. If it's within those 2040 centers, we gave it 10. If it was outside, we gave it 0. And then I'm going to circle back on waiting here in just a minute. And so all those criteria are listed in this table that talks about how we applied the criteria, how we scored the criteria, and ultimately how we scaled it up to so that we can compare to one another. When we met last time and then talking with the city, what we heard was that we wanted to try to put our thumb on the scale a little bit when it came to things like schools. And so what we did was we pulled schools out. So previously we had proximity to schools as part of our sort of key destinations, right along with transit stops, civic buildings, parks, just sort of like a general list of key destinations. And we pulled schools out, we ranked that, we weighted that the highest. So these guys got anything that was located with proximity of a school, got 10 points. And then we went down from there. Other key destinations got, I'm saying points, but scaling our weighting factor. This were bumped up by 10, other were bumped up by 8. I think we then went to those 2040 centers and underserved, just recognizing 2040 centers as sort of a regional focus, wanting to try to really build up those areas. Underserved folks, just making sure, which the city of Westland doesn't have a ton of those, but providing some pressure there.
Hey, Matt.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt. We also made the radius bigger, right? It was like,
we measured
it within a quarter mile, but I said, we need to make
it. Means the school.
Yeah.
Yeah. So originally we had just a quarter mile of school, similar to the transit stops and other key destinations. We broadened that out to that half mile of elementary, three quarter mile of middle schools. And so those things got weighted a little bit heavier.
That way it's a little bit closer to the actual safe routes.
To schools.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the ones coming down here at the bottom, and this is really sort of closing gaps in the system, which, there was some consideration in whether or not there was facilities on opposite sides of the roadway and whatnot there. And then what we call a scenario plan, which is the city as being part of the metro area, metro having what they consider to be their regionally significant corridors. We just kind of weighted those down. These are well taken care of by a lot of these other characteristics, so we weren't too concerned. That criteria, I'm going to jump all the way to the bottom. That criteria, if you had your magnifying glass, you could see that criteria is shown here, along with the scoring, how those were scored, and then ultimately how they were summed up, weighted, and then ranked. So if you want to chase it all the way down, this is a nice, if I zoomed in on that, you can see this pretty clearly. If you want to zoom in on your own screen. So that table again is kind of a critical table to understand that overall prioritization process. And I would encourage you to take a look.
Question about that, sorry to interrupt you.
Yes, so
could we possibly get an updated one where there's actually lines that go across the cells, because there is quite a bit of information there and it's a little bit when you do zoom in, it's like, I think I can follow it along, but I'm not 100% sure it's not the line above it.
Okay. I see what you're saying. Yes, I can send you an updated version. I can send you an Excel version of that too, if you want.
Perfect.
The Excel version, you can play with that as much as you want. I actually thought about that before as well, because if you wanted, you could use that Excel table to, if you wanted to, if you were interested in the projects that were best serving schools, you could just sort by the ones serving schools. So if you wanted to target the projects that were best serving like safety or risk factor, like pedestrian risk factors, you could use any one of those criteria to then sort by which projects are best serving them. So that table and this table one here and the table in the appendix is what one of the things it's highlighting is that we're trying to prioritize across a variety of different. And in doing so, sometimes what happens is that any individual factor kind of gets hidden. And so what the outcome of that is, and I'll skip this table for a second, which is just, this is the ultimately the priorities and the numbers here kind of got a little bit out of control, but the colors are really trying to show you what the highest priorities are. The ones in purple are the highest ranking, medium, pardon me, this tealish, bluish color, medium, and then the lower are those green ones. And so again, even putting our thumb on the scale of where the schools are, we still see a lot of our higher priority projects being on those higher classification streets. Hidden Springs, Pimlico over here, we've got Salamo, Blankenship, Tandler. Some of these like higher speed, higher volume, they have a bit more of a crash history. They have a tendency to kind of check more of the boxes in that criteria than just that school criteria. Or so when you get into these ones that are all sort of clustered around the schools here, it tends to score is high. Although 54 here, I think that's West A, we've got the high school right there. Mm-hmm. Some other ones in here and around the parks and things. So there are some, there's some of that's coming out, but maybe not as much.
Yeah, I think the Springs one was a purple. Was that the highest
one? The highest one was the purple.
Okay. Sidewalks going up. We have it on one side of the road. We never put it on the other side because it's got a clip that goes off the edge.
On West End.
No, on Hidden Springs.
On Hidden Springs.
Yeah, it's got a sidewalk going all the way up from the bottom to the top on the left hand or on the right hand side of the road as you're heading up.
That's farther up the hill. So.
Right, and it's all sidewalk all the way from, because I walked it from 43 all the way up to Rosemont. Sidewalk all the way there. So they have street lights on it at night, but it's the sidewalks there. Now,
and after Sandra leaving, this
is the double side. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to look at.
So this is
from the fire station.
So P20. So what we're doing for P20, that's the one you're talking about at Hidden Springs. Nice. We're looking at a mixed use path on one side of the road. South side from Carriage to Bluegrass. And then trying to provide connections to those existing sidewalks on either side.
There's no houses, there's no nothing there.
Where that trail, the trail.
Oh, is there a trail there?
Down in the, down.
It's where the apartments
are. Yeah.
It's not very, well, no, it is a high.
If you were to ask me,
I would say it's not high, but anyway, we got a sidewalk going down the other side of the street that runs all the way up.
Those are the kinds of things that we want to hear. If you look at this map and you see a project that stands out, whether it's a high priority project, a low priority project, you think it should be one way or the other, then the best input that we could hear from you would be that kind of input. And say like, and provide as much detail as you can. So P20, for example, if you're like, there's a sidewalk on the opposite side of the street. This shouldn't be a high priority project. Then what that will say to me is this is probably already being deemed because there's a sidewalk on the other side, but not deemed enough because of all the other criteria.
It is a minor arterial. So that's why I was getting its points is it's a minor arterial. Yeah. If you look at how it functions, it's got a median down the middle, and there's no houses on it. South side.
There's that little loop there in that.
Right, there is that little loop.
That's what I call it. Right.
So Pimlico is one we talked about, CC.
And that one also has a side, the other side. Right?
Yeah.
And the other side is nothing but
it's one online.
Natural vegetation. There's no. Was that what you said?
Sorry. I thought I heard somebody trying to speak online, but we cannot.
You probably saw me just like. Waiting to, I was thinking about it. When I saw this before I heard your comments about the waiting and all that kind of thing, because it was probably about 30 minutes ago that I saw this report from just trying to look online since my first time. I was trying to orient myself a little bit. But what really occurred to me in looking at this before I heard the waiting was just proximity to I thought like maybe our Vision 43 was weighting these things more or something, because when I think about, I've lived in West Lynn only for about 2.5 years most recently, but then I grew up here as well. And so maybe about 20 years of living in West Lynn and thinking of these streets and the traffic on these streets and the sidewalks that exist, some of these that are in purple, I was shocked that these were here versus some of these that are in green. And so I don't know if this is the time to go over those, like you said, like providing some of the specifics or not. But I guess my thought is with the weighting, and I'm not familiar with the 2040 metro centers, metro 2040 centers.
I could bring that up, a map of that up, and show you where that's.
Okay. So I don't know if that or the Vision 43 or, you know, some of those things might be impacting those specific areas. But when I think about like dangerous spots that people use to get from point A to point B, I guess I don't think of Hidden Springs whatsoever, nor do I think of Pimlico as like those roads have had sidewalks on them for since I was walking on them barefooted from the pool as a kid. So I never worried of my safety in any of those places, but riding, you know, bikes or walking around neighborhoods that I see green around here where there's just narrow shoulders and blind corners makes me think the lived experience of being on the road might need some weighting that we are not seeing here.
Well, I guess it begs the question. So right now, those, they should be have less weight if you've already got a sidewalk on one side of the road. Because that seems to be the conversation we're having right now. We already have it on one side. It seems to be filling a function we need. And so rather than diverting limited resources that we have to do both sides when I don't even know what we need.
I think it kind of does that, right? Isn't that what that is?
So we didn't get enough, huh?
Okay. Yeah. Well, again, it is one of the criteria. And so if you have a sidewalk on one side and not on the other side, then you're kind of getting dinged in the prioritization process. But that may not
maybe not enough.
So what we might do in those instances is we might actually just like manually push those ones down from high to low and allow the process to work independently.
Well, you know, the city manager ran every street in town, so you get to stay on
as one of the criteria, how many people use a particular corridor?
No, not necessarily. Yeah.
I mean, you could associate that with the functional class.
Right.
With the classification of the street, what he was saying earlier about being a minor arterial, collector, neighborhood route. So the collector and the arterial are naturally going to have more traffic.
Vehicle traffic.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about foot traffic.
Yeah, the proximity to key destinations has a tendency to pick that one up as well. Because like transit stops and schools and parks and things, mm-hmm. people tend to walk around.
Right. Okay.
But there is no raw like pedestrian data to plug in.
Yeah, right. Yeah, gotcha.
But maybe not. Or you tend to see in this town is people walk and exercise, not necessarily ghosts.
Right, right.
And so.
Or walk through that.
Or walk, that's a lot. Walk their dog. That's really what they do, not to really go anywhere. Because we don't really live there or anything.
Yeah, really.
So.
All right, so. You have more to present?
Not necessarily. Stop you. This is no, it's okay. This is the key thing, and I think what I'd like to hear again is so we need to come up with an approach for whenever you say Hidden Springs shouldn't be the highest. I need to go in and look at the criteria, look and see why it's being bumped up over everything else, and then if because ideally I'd like to apply it. I'd like to apply whatever changes we make to Hidden Springs to push it down. I'd like to apply that more systemically.
Right.
And okay. See how that comes out, not just the one-off. Because that's we end up doing that one-off quite a bit. Like we could sit here and identify what we think are the highest priority projects, but we may not necessarily be considering all those other factors as we do. So
yeah, okay. Then we're just individuals making a list.
Yeah.
Which is not what we want to do. We want to try to have data-driven reason why we're making a priority.
Yes, right. Some logic behind it.
So if you guys have comments, I would say let's take some time and read through it and work right, stuff up, right. Send it back, and we'll.
And I would look at you guys, the staff, go out there and see. I mean, we're just applying our.
Well, we're not going. No, no. Sure you guys, I don't know that I would disagree with you on the Hidden Springs in particular. I wouldn't disagree with that at all. I don't see a need for sidewalk on the other side.
I also look at Pimlico because that there's that lower piece as you get down towards Summit that we just have a little trail.
Yeah, isn't there sidewalk going all the way down?
Oh, there is.
It's a trail right where those apartments are.
I think 87, 88, and 89, this is all, so this is sidewalks on the south side. Sidewalk on the lower stretches.
Right, so there'll be a little connection piece that we'll still want. Let's hear from there.
I just wanted to ask if you have already done weighting things for transit for in this process, because we have the reason that I'll explain why there we've recently been given another line, a bus, a TriMet line that goes up Salamo, and we want to keep it. And so I would love to have that be a consideration just to make sure that if anything was near that bus line, that we weight that a little bit, because not very many people are using the TriMet.
So I was going to do depending on average. So depending on how recent it was, we did do a proximity to a transit
point.
But if it was like in the last month, then that would happen.
We've had it for a year now.
Has it been a year?
There's all sidewalks in there, right?
Well, yeah, I have a little gap, like right, a bit of a gap right here.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah. There's some unincorporated.
Is there?
Properties.
Yes.
In that stretch.
Between Barrington and the north side of Salamo, so that's starting right at Barrington where we just built our trail.
Gotcha.
From there up.
Oh,
so there seems unincorporated. At some point, it'd be great to annex that.
We're having that conversation.
So again, we're looking for that role specific feedback. Maybe focus on the streets that you're most familiar with, and if you don't necessarily agree with the prioritization, and just be as specific as you can about why. And if it's because of the sidewalk on the other side, if it's because you don't see a lot of people, like you don't see a lot of people using it, for example, if there's a better parallel route or some other reason, then that would be ideal.
And then look at the criteria too.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I think because we have some new members that haven't really had a chance to digest this, some of us haven't really seen it before the meeting. So I'd say we have some homework, and we really focus on this for our next meeting and come prepared to talk about it.
Yeah.
So how are we going to get the latest and greatest version of this with the lines and so on? When would that be available?
I just said it. Why don't I see the spreadsheet right now? And then you can give that back out.
Okay. So that'll be coming by email.
So Matt, is this ultimately what you're building here is the maybe it's the basis or the foundation for a TSB amendment? This would replace the current pedestrian element of the TSB. Is that it?
Essentially, this would update the table in the TSB and the map in the TSB for the pedestrian project. And what I was originally thinking, although I may not have articulated this, is that we're also kind of starting to establish how we might do prioritizations. I don't want to speak out of turn here. We're starting to think about how we're prioritizing projects or TSPs going forward. Because every TSP in the metropolitan area is going to be thinking about the same set of criteria and how it's being applied. There's 48 cities within all of the metropolitan areas of Oregon, and they're all going to be doing it in a similar sort. There's going to be little nuances to waiting, to maybe how the criteria is being applied around schools, to a variety of other things that are unique to each community, but essentially taking a similar approach.
Because of the climate friendly and equitable communities.
Exactly. And that's going to be the same for pets, bikes, transit, motor vehicles, and other elements.
Okay.
We're kind of setting the groundwork for when you go back and update your old PSP.
Okay, well, thank you very much for that. We'll look forward to that that updated version, and we'll all take a look at it before our next meeting.
Can I just a couple of clarifying questions?
Sure.
So the person who just shared all that information with us, who's got the laptop there, who's that? Is it Matt? Did I hear?
Yes, that's Matt Bell.
Matt Bell, thanks. And do you work for the city, Matt?
I do not. I work for a private consulting firm, we're Kittleson and Associates. We're traffic planners, traffic engineers.
Gotcha. Okay. One of the things I'm wondering about is I'm under the impression that we have some, like, we're in the process of submitting, or we've already submitted maybe a grant proposal for some projects in the around, like, one of the projects that's on a high prioritization is for Bittner and Long Street. I think it was like P24 or something like that. And from my children happen to go to Sunset Primary School, so I'm like on the PTSO for that and have heard some things there.
Rose up for a second.
Anyway, I was just saying I heard these projects through the PTSO that my kids go to Sunset. So disclosure of my higher interest in that area or whatever. But what I was wondering about is I'm under the impression there's a study going on right now by another consulting firm, DEK, that is collecting usage data that would be supposed to be used in a prioritization modeling, similar to what maybe this project did as well. And so I'm just clarifying, has that data been utilized in this as well, or those are two separate things?
Well, Clayton, those are two different things. So the DKS study around the Sunset area was an intersection study for crossing issues that came up during a traffic safety meeting. Matt had already been working on the prioritization of existing projects before we had that study done, and we just got results for that study a couple weeks ago that Eric and I are going through now. So they're not included in this prioritization.
Gotcha.
They are kind of separate. We're not sure how to incorporate them yet because we weren't sure what they were going to look like.
But we have received the results of those. That study is complete.
The study is complete. Draft. And we have their results and some of their recommendations that we're reviewing now.
Gotcha. And will this, Transportation Advisory Committee or board, see those things as well? Or is that on a future agenda?
I guess we hadn't given that some thought. I don't
see why not.
We could bring it.
The more important part of it is to go back to the Traffic Safety Committee where the questions were brought up in the first place. So we're trying to get some resolution for that initial request.
Gotcha.
Level committee, right? Just to clarify.
Correct. Yes.
That's a staff committee.
So, yeah, Public Works, PD, school, and engineering, we all review it and make recommendations.
Cool. I feel like that could be useful information for us if we're trying to advise on the completion of these pedestrian safety projects, and we have some data at the city level. If we could see all the things, it's kind of like preventing a 9/11 when different groups know different information. It's nice if we know that it's in the system to be able to look at everything.
If you look at the map, there's a bunch of, they're low priority, but there's a bunch of, if I'm wrong here, I think.
No, yeah, you're right. I see all those things that were on the flyer I got. And I guess that's where I was thinking.
A bunch of projects there in the Sunset area.
Yeah, and so that's where if they're low priority in both, then that's good to know. But I think what I will seek to do between now and the next meeting is basically go to every one of these streets and see it for myself. What is it really, what does it really look like? Because some of these streets I haven't been to, some of these streets didn't even exist, you know, when I, so I need to familiarize with it. But like, you know, I see Perrin down there by Bolton Primary School. I went to Bolton Middle School, and my impression of that is that it is not at all a concern. It's not a destination. A lot of these places, they're not a place that people really drive. They're not arterial routes. They're proximity to arterial routes. But I guess I'm speaking specifically of the two that are on the riverside of 43 off of the 205 there, where I think it's at Holly Street, P77.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Holly Street, like, would it be nice? I think a sidewalk everywhere is nice, but Holly Street and Perrin, those two that are off of 43, I'm imagining that might be the, maybe that's the 2040 center or something, but in terms of the number of cars that actually go to those places, it's people who live in those neighborhoods, and so they're much less likely to be speeding on through. So versus, I mean, Rosemont and Summit down Sunset, that's like a highway that doesn't exist. It's supposedly a 25, but you know, with right turn permitted without stop. So anyway, I think that if we can get on these roads ourselves between now and the next meeting, I think that's going to really help us have something to say.
Yeah, over to Cedar.
That's a good suggestion, Tracy. We appreciate it.
It's north.
Okay.
I just wanted to see Cedar Oak really quick.
Give me a second.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Right here.
Yeah. I'm fresh off of coming from the Robinwood Neighborhood Association meeting last night, and they, of course, had a fatality, pedestrian fatality. So.
Really.
Yes. Know about this, especially recently?
Yeah, very recently.
A couple months ago.
Yeah, it was. Yep.
Where? On Cedar.
Right next to Cedar Oak.
Elmran and Cedar Oak, right next to the school. I know.
They just put a sidewalk in there around the school.
No, but it's on the opposite side, like Elmran and Glen Terrace, right?
Yeah. So.
So you come around the school and you can go down to the boat.
Yeah,
it was right there, right there. And it was a local resident who crossed
lived the right there
and went walked a lot in this and the area, was very comfortable crossing the street and was in the street, and a parent had dropped their kid off and
didn't see them
and wasn't expecting them to be there. So anyway, just not to divert us, but I think it's important to talk about something like that, just so it's on our minds.
Right. Okay. Moving along. So just before we leave the pedestrian project, Eric, you brought up some funding that the city of Milwaukee was looking at or something. I just would say before we leave here, we don't have a funding mechanism from what I understand for some of the things we want to do, but to make it happen, let's be thinking about creative ways to fund some of this, these projects. Once we were putting a lot of work in here with math to get the lift. So, I mean, we need to start thinking about how we're going to make that happen.
And that's still a priority, is to figure out a funding source. I don't know if Nelson Baumgartner has things to add on that. I know that it came up in the council retreat, but I don't know if there was a deep dive into options and so on. But
not specifically. I mean, other than the general experience that many of us have had, which is going to seek funding from Metro and various other sources, the response is always, we are not a high needs area. So, although I'm challenging that constantly by saying we are a chain in a transportation link. I mean, we're a link in a transportation chain, and if we can't, you know, if we don't have proper infrastructure, then the chain breaks. So I don't, but it's true. we're not a high needs area, although there are a lot of, we are a 30% or over 25% rent burdened community too. So we have needs.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else on that? Are we good? Okay. Next item on our agenda is general capital project updates from Eric.
Not a whole lot to share here. Obviously we got the Salama on 10th Street project over the finish line. Thank you, Pat.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Minus the still waiting on the comms to get off the poles so we can get those utility poles. Yeah, all that last section coming up the hill is supposed to be undergrounded. And the conduit and everything's in there. We just have to get the comms to cooperate and get out there. Who are we waiting on? Still
moving in Comcast.
So that one's basically done. The Fields Bridge part down on Lava Falls Drive. A little bit bigger punch list there. They're just finishing up mostly. More, I guess, extenuating circumstances with that one, in that there's general contract issues with the school district. So they're trying to work through that. The subs aren't wanting to come back because they weren't getting paid.
Emmerich.
Same ones they fired from the Wilsonville School project. But we're far enough along, they're trying to get it done. So we've got a decent sized punch list. Some concrete needs to be redone, similar to the roundabout here at 10th Street. It needs some pavers reset and brought back up to grade, some curb redone. Obviously the handrail still needs to be installed along that retaining wall. I'm told that maybe sometime this next month we could have that.
Possibly. Yeah. It all hinges on the assumption that payments are made by the end of this week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was out yesterday and they're working on there's some electrical work needs to be done to energize the flasher, the RFB, hit up early, the street light.
Is it in though?
Yeah.
I don't know
what the RFB is in. Okay. The flashing, the 20 mile an hour flashing for the school zone.
Oh.
Those are in, but they are not
out. Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. We had some signage up there for the crossing. Mm-hmm. So it was busy. So I'm thinking they did get them out.
Okay. Must have been recently then.
I just drove out there today, and I apologize, but I should know better, but I was not what I was looking for. I saw the same signage, but I didn't.
I was like, anyway, we're, once we got
smart. Any minute.
Yeah.
We're working.
What else? The waterline project, we're, for the spring, we're close to getting that out on the street for bid. Once that's done, then we'll start looking at, because most of these water line replacement is prerequisite to doing the street for the summer. So get that done, we'll get working on the road program summer. Should have a decent sized road program, paving project.
So you can do it the way you did last time, which is where you sent it to a consultant to do the contract work.
Yeah. For
you. And just get it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. I was trying to do it in the house as well. Just texting them.
There's just too many. We've got a couple of people with bad experience and they get pulled off on other things. And then what a consultant can do for us in a month, it takes us six.
That's fine.
It's not productive.
We are still working on design for 9th Street sidewalk. So Icon has built the two.
Yeah, the one that goes beyond the
hill.
One of the things that got this one.
Right, and it starts.
Yeah.
we have design going for the piece to connect the two Python projects together, which is a little hard to do because it's in a wet
area. Right.
So that's all working on that
right too.
Yeah. There's some redevelopment going on at 9th and 5th that will get sidewalk as part of that redevelopment. We are waiting for a proposal from that developer who was offered to partner with us to do the rest of the sidewalk across the other two properties. So we want to see what that looks like from a design that helps to work with. If we can get the contractor on board to do that, then that'll be great. And then we have a nearly full connection.
Yeah. And I did one of the other things, if you remember early last year, I think it was, that kind of triggered this too, was the 19th and Austin folks coming in.
Right.
So I did finally get a consultant on board to look at big picture
about that area,
those corridors, and where, if, you know, what, where would the sidewalk go? What right of way would we need to acquire?
Good job.
So we've got a couple things underway that'll help.
Hopefully. Is that 19th and
Austin? Yeah, right.
I feel like those don't, is it?
They don't intersect.
They're two different.
Oh, okay. 19th and Austin. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Right. So, yeah, we're trying. I mean, whenever I drive around, I'm like, oh, I wish we could build that sidewalk.
So, out of curiosity, where does that, for back at flat, lack of a better term, the wetland development project that's been such a hot topic. Oh. Where does that stand these days? Down there by the.
What is the status of it?
Yeah. So moving forward, or is it?
The private developer is in the process of preparing his application to build whatever it is he ends up applying for, which I don't know what it's going to be. It was 26 duplexes. On the high ground along 5th, so the opposite side of the river of the property there.
That's the status
of it.
All right.
Yeah, it was a multi-step process. So I think the first step was consolidate. It had like a bunch of squirrely lot lines. They were going to consolidate.
So he's created three parcels.
Three parcels instead of 20 something.
Okay.
But, yeah, next step is see what the application was.
All right.
So on the capital, this is your budget here, isn't it? So I'm wondering if you can see at our next meeting your proposed street CIP.
Yeah, great idea. We're going to meet internally Friday to go over.
Sunday, March, right?
Street, what was that?
Capital improvement plan.
For the next plan is coming.
For the next 2 years.
Oh, next 2 years.
Yeah, they're doing their 2 year budget.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And we'll have a six-year.
Six-year? Okay, that'd be good, too.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. So is that the capital project?
Yep.
Thank you very much. More discussion and announcements. Mary, do you have anything you'd like to share from the council perspective with the board? Okay.
Well, I can kind of briefly and generally say that for our goal setting session that we have at the beginning of the month, the first Saturday, I thought we had some really great engagement on how to better utilize and better purpose the advisory boards generally. So that's something that is going to be our ongoing goal this year. It's having a clear purpose and better engagement with boards. And the transportation board is pretty purpose driven already. There's other boards that people feel like they're not sure what their mission is. And so it's not really aimed at the transportation board, but just so. But other than that, I did mention kind of off the cuff at the Robinwood meeting last night that maybe the level of concern that they were expressing about the pedestrian accident that happened and other issues that are specific to the Cedar Oak neighborhood because of their lack of sidewalks that was historically their own desire.
Right.
And I said, you know, you could, because they start like saying, well, what did the city do? And the city should be doing this, that, and the other thing to make it safer. And I said, well, maybe this is an opportunity for Robinwood neighborhood to maybe talk to the Transportation Advisory Board and to get some ideas and have the kind of challenge the community to come up with their own answers and also engage with themselves, each other. They were also talking about trying to get better engagement of their neighbors. So I said, here's a great opportunity to have a project to work on together. So they may come to you and say, Mary Baumgartner.
but it's your understanding that that neighborhood is generally not in favor of sidewalks.
Well, historically, that was very, that was kind of their vibe, was no sidewalks. And so I'm not wanting to be representing them the current thoughts necessarily, but just historically. And what they were saying, and this I can totally see how this would happen. So over the years, let's say someone planted a small hedge and it's next to the right of way. Well, now that hedge has gotten taller and wider and it's actually in the right of way. It's creating sightline problems. Then they, similar people maybe wanted not to have people parking or to discourage parking, so they put big rocks.
Yeah.
So that's forcing pedestrians out into the road and causing problems that, so conversations do need to happen. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's the city's responsibility, but the city could be part of the conversation.
I'm just going to jump in just because I feel bad if I don't say something and another pedestrian, like I knew the guy who lived there, passed away. So, and I grew up in that neighborhood and I've gone through Cedar Oak, Old River Road, Elmoran, Calaroga, et cetera, for 43 years. And I 100% just want to like emphasize exactly what Mary said, is that there's so much overgrown. It's part of what people love about that area is the greenery and all that. But I do several places around Westland driving now. I'm thinking, I think we've got to enforce some right of way, and it's not going to be pleasant. And like, nobody's going to be popular for saying, hey, nobody can see here, but we've got a lot of blind corners and we got a lot of things that are just really not safe. And so I don't know where, and I don't know how that gets changed, but I do think that turning something tragic into progress sometimes gives people a willingness to do things they don't want to do.
Yeah, exactly. Well said.
All right. A couple things on my list. So we have some new members, and I really appreciate, I didn't know that we had new members coming on, but that's great. So hopefully we'll have a couple more people here next time and we'll have our full roster. Mm-hmm. And let's go around the room and just give each other a background on what we've done, where we've been, and who we are, because I think we have a lot of expertise in this room. And we got to figure out how to use it to help Eric and the city council, as best we can. So I'd like to get to one more background.
We'll back at the next meeting.
Yeah, the next meeting, right? Because we'll have, hopefully, Rich will be back.
That's a great idea. Yeah.
So let's do that. So in the meantime, we'll get out a roster of our board.
Yes, it'd be nice to have.
And I think another thing I'd like to ask us to think about is, Mary just alluded to, let's think about what else we can do as a board for priorities or things we'd like to tackle in the next year. I see it on our agenda items, in the past. Rich, you had it on your agenda. And
the first meeting.
Yeah. So think about it and maybe come next time with anything else you think that might be appropriate for this board. And certainly we'd like to hear from you and the city staff too. Anything we can do to help is why we're here. So
great.
Yeah.
Again, I'll pop in there. Sorry for the coming out of the screen here, but I would love something if it exists, and if not, I would think this would be a valuable thing for us to take on and create, is something that speaks to the purpose and the some of the prior achievements or accomplishments or, you know, work of the group. And again, coming in, if there was already that established, like what we're talking about creating, I think that's fantastic for the public to be able to see, and for as a new member, it's valuable. But yeah, kind of, I guess, as I envision, like, oh, well, if I was thinking about answering that question at our next meeting from my perspective, the first point for me would be kind of like a, what are the boundaries and what are the, you know, what's in bounds and what's out of bounds for this, or like for this particular board. So if there's anything that I can read between now and our next meeting in order to be able to participate more within the scope of what is the work of this group, then I'd be happy to read it.
Two things. We have our charge for the committee. Yeah. It tells what we're supposed to do. And the second thing is every year we turn in a report to the city council about what we accomplished in the previous year. So Clayton, that would be the thing that says what we've done over the last, I mean, you can go back as far as you want, but certainly you didn't do it.
Well,
I feel rich about it.
Like the day before I was leaving Christmas holiday, I got it from American. I scrambled and got part of it done. I just,
well, that's just for this year, but we have the other years that we've done, and so there's plenty to look at, and we have our charge that says what we're supposed to be looking at. And so those two things will get you, that'll get your baseline.
Yeah,
perfect.
Where you want to start from.
So are they listed on the website under Transportation Advisory Board, the historical?
I think so.
How could the person find them?
Yeah,
I'd like to make a comment about the website. All of the different advisory boards, the Transportation Advisory Board is the only one that the linkage doesn't work. Huh? When you click on that, it goes nowhere. All the others, you can click on the board and it will give you additional information about it. Yeah. But it's almost as if we're dead. We don't exist. I mean, honestly, that's what I discovered about the website.
I've noticed that too.
I mean, Clayton, I could send you the two I did when I was chair of the committee, the two reports.
They must have.
But it's,
good point, though.
You're right. Yeah. Though, I mean, that would, if there was a link to a page for the team,
well,
we could post them all.
This kind of goes to what Jeff's saying. I'm on another citizen committee. What they do is an onboarding process. New members come on, they actually call them into the room and go over things, but that's the kind of thing, you know, you do kind of an onboarding process with the new members, and so that the charge, perhaps the past things, and what we're working on, and who the members are coming from,
right?
Something. I don't know if you do that on the other citizen committees.
Not that there has never been a process like that I know about.
And they just got voted in Monday.
But it's true that as my own personal experience being on several advisory boards, I would sit there and it took me a few meetings to kind of get up to speed and using my own brain power and what I could glean. So you're right. It would be nice.
And I don't know. I know there's like, you know, my understanding is we can't meet in quorum outside of meetings. And if we're only meeting every other, so I know that it puts some like restrictions on kind of an onboarding process perhaps, but I do think
individually we just can't have a quorum.
Yeah. So I think that would be
for somebody
like me anyway. I'm always hungry to learn more. I've always enjoyed every onboarding process that I've been part of coming into a new organization. For me, City of Westland, any advisory board for that is a new process for me. So I'm
happy
eager
to
and happy to meet with Eric, did you just say that? Yes, yeah. I'd be happy to meet with you and then either of or any of the people on the other side of the table who've been on the board or anybody and everybody.
Maybe Logan and Clayton can meet with Eric.
That sounds
great. That'd be great. Thanks.
Okay, any further discussion on the board?
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Great engagement. Thanks.
Yeah.
Appreciate you.
Exciting.
Yeah, appreciate your offer. Okay, I think we are adjourned.
Thank you, Newman.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye. Yeah. Hope they stick around for a while.